You were the editor of the Tennessee Williams notebook. You spent about a decade doing that work.
Yeah.
Why did it take so long to work on that piece?
Well, that's a good question. It was supposed to take 3 years, but when I started it, I just really didn't know what I had. And the diaries were very personal. Tennessee Williams wrote to himself about himself. So there was a lot of footwork in just trying to figure out the references. He spoke about people that weren't famous, and he would refer to manuscripts that he didn't identify. There are over 2,000 unpublished manuscripts, so I had to spend a year just making a database of those to try and identify them.
What did you learn about him that perhaps we don't know? We think of course, The Glass Menagerie, Streetcar Named Desire, some of his famous pieces that he's created. But what did you unearth, so to speak, that was different from what we would have known publicly about him?
Sure. Well, the thing, I learned several things. One is that he was incredibly disciplined and worked very hard. As I mentioned, 2,000 unpublished manuscripts. He wrote pretty much every day. He would rework a piece, for example, The Glass Menagerie, which seems seamless. It took him almost 8 years to write, and it had eight or so different endings. And he would work with something and try different things and just be a wonderful editor. So there was that real commitment to work. The other thing I learned is that he never gave up. He was incredibly resilient. He didn't have success really until he was 35, even though he committed to writing when he was 16. He went through a lot of dry periods with a lot of discouragement. And at the end of his life, his writing style had gone out of fashion, and he still continued to write and put plays on. By the end of his life, he couldn't get anything on, even off-Broadway. But he still had that commitment to writing, and I greatly admire that, because it was about the writing. It wasn't about the fame. It was about the process.
What inspires you, and what did you learn from his writings that inspires you?
Well, I learned how to write. I had done some creative writing, but I saw how he just how inefficient the writing process was. And it's okay to write a bad manuscript and not to be discouraged, but to keep working and rewriting. So I learned that process. I think I also learned how he took ideas. And Arthur Miller said about him that form served his utterances, so that he started with sensibility and with emotion, and then his play would take whatever shape that was required. I don't really read for plot. I read for sensibility. So I saw how he would take emotion and write about it. So that was very instructive.
I want to talk about your book, of course, Charleston. It brings us to a small southern city of a woman who is living in London, returns about 10 years later to her hometown, meets up with an old boyfriend. Any similarities to your life and where you're coming from? You were from Charleston. You're living in England now.
Yeah, no, it was all invented. Again, I started with an idea of it was a collision of several ideas. One, I wanted to write about the South because I have great loyalty to the South, and I felt that a lot of the TV shows, movies, even some of the fiction skated close to caricature. I mean, Tennessee Williams wrote about women who were trapped in and by the South, but the world has moved on, and women, you know, have jobs, they have freedom, they aren't waiting for a man to rescue them. So I wanted to write about what I think is an interesting and the true picture of the South and about a small southern town. I also wanted to write about humility. I think there's a lot of humility in the South, and it's a characteristic I have I find very comforting, and it's very important to me.
In our modern times, is there more a sense of tradition, though, in Charleston, perhaps?
Than in other places? Mm-hmm. Oh, I think definitely so. I mean, I think Charleston is a rather unique place in the sense of, you know, in the 1700s, it was one of the most important cities in America, one of the top four. It went through two wars. It borrowed a lot from England, so there was a great education in a very cultured place. So, and it's an odd place because you have this very civilized town amid this very wild world. So growing up, we would, you know, go, you know, on these uncharted places. Our parents never knew where we were. But when we'd come home at night, we would come back to a sense of order and civility, and there was a way of behaving. So those traditions are still there.
What do you find when you meet people on your book tours and you have a chance to interact and they learn of your works, perhaps already know of your works, of course, and you get to meet up with them. What do they ask most of you?
Well, I've just started this book tour, so Buffalo is my second city. And I'm hoping to do some sightseeing this afternoon, which I'm looking forward to. So I haven't, I don't have, you know, a lot of information to say, but I mean, I'll just share with something that a woman said to me at a small signing at a country store on the Edisto. But she told me about her husband, who was a sea captain, and he ferried tankers across the oceans. And she said, and I don't know how this came up, but she said that she could drop her husband in any body of water, and he would know where he was by the color of the water. And that just enchanted me, the idea that color is some kind of compass. So these are the kind of wonderful things that you, you know, in talking to people that you learn, and I'm really enjoying it.
Do you talk to younger writers, and are you concerned about what they're learning in school and how the times have changed with the digital age of perhaps less interaction with writing and more on digital and online and on mobile devices?
Well, it worries me, all of these devices, because for me, they fracture my mind, and I can't concentrate. I have to sort of say I'm not going to write with my internet turned on. You know, I have to have everything off. I have a son who's 23 and has published a book, and he's very much into all of these modes of you know, communication. I think there's a whole new way of responding. Their world is quite visual. You know, they send pictures to friends. So I think it will find its own place, and it will have its own characteristics. And I think if you want to be a writer, you still need to read a lot, and you have to observe. So I don't think that will change.
Well, Margaret Thornton, author of the book Charleston, thank you so much for stopping by our studios on your Buffalo tour. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. It's a delight to be here.